Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time. We got two stops to make, so let's get it going. The first is to UCF. They take on Stanford this weekend, who's coming to town. UCF is one of those teams that's always trying to get in that playoff conversation. They need some big non-conference wins for the resume. And joining us now to talk about this one and this matchup is Brian Murphy. He writes for the SB Nation site for UCF and the Orlando Sentinel, covering UCF athletics. And he joins us now. He's on Twitter, at @Spokes_Murphy. Brian, thank you so much for joining us up here in Portland, man. I'll just start with, what does this game mean for their playoff resume, in your opinion?
Oh, well, it means they have to win it. I mean, if there's any chance that UCF has any chance of the playoff, they have to go undefeated, and they probably have to win convincingly. So, I mean, what does this mean? Well, it's really only one of two chances that UCF has to really prove themselves against the Power 5 conference team, although down here they would say Power 6 with the American. But I digress. It's Stanford this week. It's Stanford this week and Pitt next week up in Pittsburgh. And they need to not only win, but they probably need to win impressively to really open some eyes.
Yeah, we know the run that they've been on and the impressive wins and upsets that they pulled off over the last couple of years. How does this year's UCF team compare, you'd say, to the last two or three?
There's some instability at quarterback that this team is experiencing that they did not experience the last couple of seasons, for most of the last couple of seasons. Certainly the last 2 years were dominated by Mackenzie Milton. Mm-hmm. In 2017, when they went to the Peach Bowl and beat Auburn, and then 2018, when they were on a roll again, and he then suffers a traumatic knee injury to which he is still recovering from, that has sent this team trying to figure out who their starting quarterback is. And guys, I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure who's going to start for them on Saturday, be it either the grad transfer from Notre Dame, Brandon Wimbush, the true freshman from Hawaii, Dylan Gabriel, who started last week against FAU, or you might also see Daryl Mack, who played, who won the championship game against Memphis last year, played in the Fiesta Bowl against LSU. He's also healthy. So, but unfortunately for us in the media, Josh Heupel, not very forthcoming with who's going to start this game.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting note too. You mentioned the quarterback position, and correct me if I'm missing anything here, but Wimbush started and played the first game, and then he didn't appear in week two. Was there something going on there?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so you got to always figure out, like, how much do we want to, like, fully trust what the coaches say, right?
Right.
Like, so, yeah, Wimbush played the first game, and he started and looked fine, and they actually split reps basically with Dylan Gabriel, which was planned. And then all of a sudden, Gabriel was the starter for week two against FAU, and then Wimbush didn't play at all. And they said after the game that he was not 100%. That was the official line, that he wasn't 100%. They wouldn't disclose what kind of injury he had suffered, but rest assured, he is now 100% at full strength this week. So I'm not exactly sure what he is fully healed up from, but he'll be available on Saturday against Stanford.
Brian Murphy is our guest here. UCF hosting Stanford. He covers them for the SB Nation site for UCF and the Orlando Sentinel, and he's on Twitter at @Spokes_Murphy. I'll get you out of here on this one, Brian. We obviously don't want the Pac-12 to lose this game because our reputation already sucks in the Power 5 as is. But I think you guys are actually going to roll them. Stanford's not very good this year. Their offensive line's banged up. They don't have real great playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. And the offense of UCF seems to be really electric. If Stanford's going to pull a bit of an upset here, what do they have to do? And what's the area for UCF that you think teams can expose them if they're able to get past them?
You know, this is a huge test for UCF compared to what they've faced previously this season. They've boat raced an FCS team in Florida A&M, and then they blew out FAU, who's not very good. So this is even though Stanford has the injuries and stuff like that, it's a much better team. We don't really know if UCF is as good as they've played against weaker competition. But what Stanford needs to do is control the tempo. This is a contrasting styles game. UCF wants to be up and down 10 seconds from snap to whistle, and kind of tire the Stanford defense out. Stanford needs KJ Costello to control the ball. He needs to be safe and accurate with his throws, which we know he can do. They just need to really eat up clock, keep that offense off the field, and make some long drives. Then on defense, you try to harass whoever the quarterback is and get some three and outs. That's obviously easier said than done, but that kind of is the way that Stanford could be competitive in this game. Be aggressive and get some stops on defense, and then bleed that clock on offense into long drives.
Absolutely. Brian Murphy covering UCF for down in Florida for the Orlando Sentinel, the SB Nation site. Our guest here as they host Stanford this week in the biggest game probably in the Pac-12, because if UCF gets that win, it's going to be a pretty big one for them. Brian, thanks so much for joining us up here, man. Enjoy that game.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on the Daily Ticker now and go to the ATL, where the Falcons are hosting the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. They start 0-1. Not particularly an inspiring performance against the Minnesota Vikings in Week 1. A lot of people liked them, and they got absolutely raced out of that stadium. So Andy Bunker is our guest. He's on Twitter at TBM929, and he's a host of the Midday Show on 92.9 The Game over there in Atlanta. Bunker, if the Falcons lose this one, will Dan Quinn be fired after Week 2? Because Vegas thinks he's the first coach to be fired on their odds boards.
I don't think he'll be fired, but it'll be really bad. It'll be a really, really ugly week. And, the good news is they got the Colts in Week 3. So if they lose, maybe they could bounce back and get a win. The season's not over, but everybody knows you lose the first two games of an NFL season, your chances of making the playoffs are pretty low. And you mentioned it. The way they played against Minnesota is a big part of it. They played awful. They got killed. Dan Quinn was already on the hot seat coming into the season. So it's a huge game. We spent all week talking about the importance of this game. Dan Quinn, everybody, he's going to brush off a question like that and say he always feels pressure. He should feel a lot of pressure. It's a really big deal. If they get beat by the Eagles, especially if they get beat badly by the Eagles, it's going to be ugly for Dan Quinn next week.
If he does get canned, are you going to be a little surprised that the Seattle guy, beat the other Seattle guy in Atlanta for your time there?
No, I'm not surprised. I'll probably be here for a really long time. I'll probably be here for a lot longer than all the head coaches, ideally.
Absolutely,
baby. Fired,
Hey, we're trying to lock in our picks for the weekend. I am all over Philly minus the 2 in this game. Can you talk me out of it?
No, not really. I think that's a pretty smart play. It's at home, right, for the Falcons, so that's good. They're 2-0 in home openers at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And there's a lot of talent on the team. That's the thing about the Falcons. It's so infuriating. We're not talking about the Minnesota or the Dolphins. We're not talking about the Miami Dolphins, who are trying to lose. We're talking about a team with a $150 million quarterback, right, the highest paid wide receiver ever, a defensive tackle that they just paid this offseason, a middle linebacker that they just paid this offseason. There's talent. They're good on paper. I have no idea why they played the way they played against Minnesota. So, no, I can't advise you not to make that bet. It seems like it would be a smart bet.
Yeah, Midday Radio host on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Andy Bunker is our guest, good friend of the show. He's on Twitter at TBM929. Give him a follow. Falcons hosting Philly on Sunday night. You mentioned the hot seat with Dan Quinn and what the record is with teams when they start 0-2 of making the playoffs. I'm really just curious because Arthur Blank clearly wants to win a Super Bowl. He came so close just a few years back. I believe I saw the stat that they are now 18-18 since they lost that Super Bowl. He made them make coaching staff changes. Why do you think they allowed Dan Quinn to come back this year versus going, all right, this has kind of gotten stagnant, it's not working, let's move on and let's get a guy in here that can maybe take us over the top?
I think the big reason was Dan Quinn agreed to take over as defensive coordinator. And the reason he's the head coach in the NFL in the first place is because he was the defensive coordinator for the Seahawks when they went to back-to-back Super Bowls. So that's what his pedigree is, and that's what he does well. So I think there was a conversation between him and Arthur Blank, and it was, look, you know, I still believe in you. You went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but if you're going to do it, you need to be the one calling the plays on defense, and you need to bring in some veteran play callers on offense. They hired Dirk Koetter as their offensive coordinator, who was the head coach in the NFL the last 4 years. They brought in Mike Mularkey as their tight ends coach. He was the head coach in the NFL recently. So there's a lot of experience on both sides of the ball. They had to make the changes because otherwise, like you said, they would just fire everybody and just start it over. So I think that that's a part of it. I mean, I think Arthur Blank knows that if you're able to have a head coach and a quarterback together for a while, that's the recipe for success in the NFL. Just look at the teams that win. They're coaches and quarterbacks that are partnerships for a good long time. So, I mean, I don't think they were ready to jump ship yet. The Falcons dealt with a ton of injuries last year, too. I mean, their three or four best players on defense missed the majority of the season. So that explains some of it. They all played last weekend, though, and they played like crap. So I don't know how to – again, I have no idea. I've been trying to explain it all week as to what the hell happened against Minnesota, and I still don't know. So we'll see what happens against the Eagles.
Yeah, it was a really weird performance. When you lose to a team, too, the opposing quarterback, well, Kirk Cousins was like 8 of 10 for 80 yards, and they just smoked him. Like, you just don't see that in the NFL very often.
Right.
More importantly, did you stay up till 4 in the morning to watch your Huskies last weekend?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Is it not even, like a tree falls in the woods? You can't hear it. It didn't happen, right? In the middle of the
unclear on what you're talking about. I did see Oregon lose in Atlanta.
There we go.
That was fun. It was tough, too. It was one of those ones where like they could have won.
Don't flip this on me. Bunker.
It didn't work out.
Get that nonsense out of here.
Did we watch Oregon State Hawaii?
Ball is a great play caller.
No Oregon State Hawaii? No? Nobody?
Oh, I don't know what happened with that.
Oh, it's okay.
It's on Facebook. Don't worry.
Yeah, nobody else saw it. I'll get you out of here with this one, Bunk. Acuna is going to set some history pretty soon. He's got 39 homers, 36 stolen bases, 21 years old. The Braves are just dominating right now. They're playing great baseball. One, is everybody in Atlanta thinking they can actually win the World Series? Because I know what that history is and how nervous people get with postseason and the Atlanta Braves. And two, I mean, what's it like to be around that kid, be around that franchise this season?
People are very optimistic about what the Braves could do in the playoffs. The problem is the pitching rotation isn't the same that you see with some of the other teams that are favorites to win the World Series this year. They just don't have that dominant ace of their staff. They went out and got Dallas Keuchel. That's great. He's not the same Dallas Keuchel that he was 3-4 years ago at the Houston Astros. So everyone's optimistic about it, but I think people are also reasonable in saying that it might still be a year or two before this Atlanta roster is like true blue World Series caliber. And some of these young pitchers they have are coming along. I just think they're not quite, and they don't have the experience either as far as being in the playoffs. As for Ronald Acuna, yeah, it's a treat. It's pretty incredible to be able to tune in every single night and see a kid that's, you know, you don't know what you're going to see. You're going to see something special every single night. And, you know, I don't say this lightly, but I've said it a few times about Acuna. I grew up in Seattle. I got a chance to watch Ken Griffey Jr. when I was a kid, and I got a chance to watch Alex Rodriguez when I was a kid, when they were in their absolute peak, when they were, you know, right at the beginnings of their careers. He reminds me of that. Like, he's that type of superstar where every single time he goes out there, he's going to do something crazy. Yeah. And to be 21 years old, A-Rod was 22 when he went 40-40. To be 21, and he's probably going to do it. He's got like 15 games left. He needs one more homer and four more stolen bases. To add your name to that list, he'll be the fifth player ever, ever in baseball history to go 40-40 at 21 is nuts. So, yeah, no, the future of the Braves is really great. I think that they are in position to be competitive for a long time. They're going to playoffs this year. Hopefully they can win a series and make the NLCS and give the Dodgers a run for their money. But I'm not sure about that this year. What I do know is that I expect them to be around for
for years to come.
Well, Bunker, thank you so much for joining us up here, man. As a Braves fan in Portland, Oregon, you tell those fans, I get it, I understand, but they had three number one pitchers in the 90s. They won one World Series. Maybe you don't need pitching. Maybe just the bats will get going in the postseason.
Maybe. You're absolutely right. They had some pretty good pitching back then.
They did. Andy Bunker, 92.9 The Game, midday host over there, good friend of the show. He's on Twitter, at TBM929. Give him a follow. Bunk, thanks so much for joining us, man, and enjoy that game on Sunday night.
See you guys. Go Huskies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.